Hi, I'm Shekhar Gupta, and I bring to you this podcast version of this week's National Interest. Because Punjab is the greatest crisis facing our country at this point, we are dedicating quite a bit of attention to the issue over this week. That's why this week's National Interest also talks about Punjab. In this case, in this National Interest, we also look at what is it that Sikhs in Punjab are complaining about, or what is triggering them. I'm trying to use some modern language, trendy language. So there are two most important similarities between the mood in Punjab today and at the peak of the earlier crisis in the early 1980s. The first similarity is a good one. If you walk around Punjab and ask a random sample of Sikhs if they believe in creating a state separate from India, or what is loosely called Khalistan, the chances are that a very, very large majority will say no. It will be unanimous unless you run into an oddball actually. Many may even ask you to go get your head examined. The fact is, although many in these new nationalist times elsewhere in the country might find it difficult to believe it, that's how it was even in the Bhindranwale era. If you ask people, do you want Khalistan? Is that you are fighting for? Most people will say no. At the same time, there was something complicated, which is what brings us to the second similarity, which is the tough one. You ask the very same people who laugh at the fantasy of a nation separate from India if they also think Sikhs are victims of multiple serious and egregious injustices, and the answer, you'd be surprised from how many, will be yes. That's precisely how it was in that past as well. That's why I said there are two similarities, a good one and a tough one. The sense of injustice is and was righteous and deep. The line you heard then was the same as what you would hear now. That the Sikhs are victims of dhakka, or grave injustice. The causes of the current anger and alienation are broadly four. One, sectarian deras, let's say seminaries come permanent congregations, as an existential threat to Sikhism. The continued incarceration of Bandi Singhs or imprisoned Sikhs, as in the 9 convicted on terror and assassination charges and held on long jail sentences, all around 25 years or thereabouts already. Third, that those guilty of sacrilege at Sikh shrines and for alleged desecration haven't been caught or punished. And the fourth is a rhetorical one, that if the RSS and BJP say they are building a Hindu Rashtra, what's wrong with a Sikh Rashtra? Each one of these have nuances and arguments. And while I know that it's easy to respond to these with irritation and anger and outrage, it won't serve any purpose. In fact, if we accept that there is a challenge in Punjab today, any realistic progress can only be made if the rest of the country, especially the government and the ruling party, engage with this sense of grievance and try and understand where it's coming from. This is no call for appeasement. Mine is no call for appeasement. Mine is a call for listening to a side that feels aggrieved. Just that an open-minded debate and a search for solutions never hurt anybody. Two of these four, impunity for perpetrators of sacrilege or alleged sacrilege and deras, are to be read together. The larger fear today, as it was in the 1980s, is that blasphemers pretending to be Sikh gurus are now threatening the faith. In the past, the target was the Nirankari sect. Now it is the heads of the deras. The first targeted attacks in the past were aimed at the leaders of the Nirankari sect, including its chief. Now the anger is with the various new Babas who claim to be religious teachers but are seen by the devout Sikhs as packaging themselves as modern-day quote-unquote gurus. This is blasphemy in Sikhism, where the 10th guru was the last and he said, here on Guru Manyo Granth, which means the holy book, Guru Granth Sahib, will now be the living guru. These Babas are seen to dress and turn out like the gurus and attract vast populations of Sikhs into their fold. The foremost of these is the rape-slash-murder convict Gurmeet Ram Rahim Insan, long name, and there is a reason there. The last three words of his name were added hurriedly as he faced the heat from the devout Sikhs for pretending to be a guru. He said he wasn't doing so That wasn't his intention, and that's why the suffixes of a Hindu and a Muslim name, Ram and Rahim, to assert a secular view, and Insan, which means human being, to deny any claim to divinity. On the ground, however, it makes no difference. His followers are increasing, his deras are being run as if he isn't missing. And is he missing at all, in spite of his conviction and sentencing for rape and murder? These are the questions the devout Sikhs ask with a sense of hurt and anger. If he's guilty of rape and murder, how does he seem to get more time out of jail on parole than inside? And when he's out on parole, he's holding court, he's addressing congregations, he does so remotely and lots of people join in. How does he get these long spells of parole? As any election in the region, especially in Haryana, even by elections approach, and so many political leaders, especially of the BJP, keep paying obeisance to him. The widespread belief among the Sikhs is that his followers were responsible for the incidents of sacrilege, and his political clout is the reason no government, Akalis, Congress or AAP, has dared to catch and punish the guilty. He owns very sizable transferable vote banks. You want to know how strong this sentiment is? Think about the recent lynchings in Punjab, including the one in the Golden Temple, of people caught by the devotees on mere suspicion of sacrilege. The once formidable Punjab police has drawn as much of a blank in catching and punishing those guilty of these lynchings as with the earlier so-called sacrilege incidents. Of course, you haven't seen any popular revulsion among the devout Sikhs or the clergy at these lynchings. An added feature of the same insecurity that others are creeping in to convert Sikhs to other faiths and sects is the new wave of Christian evangelism. The most recent fight Amritpal Singh picked was with Christian pastors who pushed back with protests. A lot of the Sikhs, especially from the scheduled castes, patronize these churches, just like many more go to the deras. In each case, it is seen as a threat to traditional Sikhism. Just how popular these churches and pastors are becoming, you can read in a fine story by Chitleen Sethi, our correspondent in Chandigarh. She covers Punjab, Haryana, Himachal, the region for us. She knows the region very well. I will share a link of the story with you in the description of this video. What triggers the Sikh conservatives even more is the fact that many of these pastors still dress in traditional Sikh attire. For any political party or coalition ruling Punjab, it would have been easier to handle these if the state, or more precisely the electorate, was as homogeneous as many outsiders think it is. Many outsiders think Punjab means Sikhs, that most of Punjab's people are Sikh, and that Sikhs are a monolith. That's not correct. The state is a bit less than 60% Sikh, according to 2011 census. Among the Sikhs also, there are wide divisions. The most dominant and visible caste among the Sikhs, the Jat Sikhs, or Jat Sikhs as they are called in Punjab, make up barely 20% of the total population. The state also, counterintuitively, has the largest percentage of Dalits of any state in the country at almost 33%, or 1 in 3. They are the ones among whom evangelists, whether of the deras or Christianity, find the most purchase. The third grievance over what is called the Bandi Singh issue. The Bandi Singh issue, Bandi means prisoner, Singh is Sikh. Bandi Singh issue needs a closer look. Again, we might all benefit from reading a story by Chitleen Sethi on this issue, explaining this problem. I'll share a link of that also with you with the description of this video. Briefly, however, this is about just 9 prisoners serving time for about 25 years already after conviction on terror charges. 6 of them were convicted for the assassination of then Punjab Chief Minister Beant Singh on 31st August 1995. The remaining 3 were convicted for terror bombings. These include Beant Singh's assassin Balwant Singh Rajawana, who told journalists outside a dental clinic where he had been taken for treatment that he does not even want to be released. He wants to be a real Akali and a real Khalsa. So he'll stay on in jail. He's not afraid. Among the bombers, the most prominent is Devinder Pal Singh Bhullar, convicted for the September 1993 bombing in Delhi, where the Congress party's Maninderjit Singh Bitta survived, albeit with a battered body, and 9 others died. His death sentence, Bhullar's death sentence, was commuted to life by the Supreme Court. A campaign has raged for more than a year now for their release. While it is true that even the Sikh clergy and SGPC hailed Beyant Singh's assassins, and that the Akali Dal keeps fielding Rajwana's sister as a candidate in elections, Sikhs you speak with won't by and large go into whether what they did was right or wrong. They ask a more searching question, and one not so easy to answer. Rajiv Gandhi, they say, was assassinated at around the same time, 1991 actually. His convicted assassins, serving life sentences, have been released on compassionate grounds. Why is this compassion reserved only for non-Sikhs? Or why is it denied only for non-Sikhs? Are they any different? No political leader in Punjab has the intellect or the spine to engage with the protesters on this. On the other hand, they've been trying to set the Bandi Singh protesters against Amritpal Singh's support base. That's some political genius, isn't it? You know I'm being sarcastic. The last point, if Modi, the BJP and the RSS can proudly say India is a Hindu Rashtra, why can't we have a Sikh nation, right? Hindu Rashtra, a Sikh Rashtra. That's a question many Sikhs ask. That's a question common Sikhs ask. On the street, they will ask you. This is a clamor. This has just gone around. Remember also that Punjab is one state where BJP is not particularly popular, especially among the Sikh community. Punjab is also the only state in North India which has been completely immune to the Modi magic or the Modi waves. This question, however, that if it's okay to talk of a Hindu Rashtra, why is it so bad to talk of a Sikh Rashtra, will bring us back to the old point. The deep BJP RSS belief that the Sikhs are Hindus who look different and follow one of the many ways of prayer and worship in Hinduism. So why should they complain? That's a fundamental misreading of the situation, and serious errors of judgment flow from it. Muslims aren't the only fellow Indians triggered by the talk of a Hindu Rashtra.